in the kingdom in mystery form. Use your own judgment as to that. Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Among the many other things we might say, we can say this. At the present time, the Lord Jesus Christ is patiently waiting to take up the reins of government. He is waiting in patience. And one aspect of the kingdom at the present time is that it is a kingdom of patience. Now that's for the king, who has been rejected and is waiting until his foes be made the footstool of his feet. Is there a counterpart for the subjects of the kingdom? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I think. Yes, lovely verse. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting of the Christ. I think those of you who study the detail of the more literal translations will find that the exhortation is, the Lord direct your hearts into the patient waiting of the Christ. Now, isn't that lovely? The Lord Jesus Christ is waiting patiently till God gives the word. God has appointed the day. And until that day dawns, the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting. His attitude is, when God as such gives the word, he, the Lord Jesus, will take up the reins of government and be clearly pronounced king and will be responded to as such. And in the confidence of knowing that God has said so, the Lord Jesus' present attitude is wait God's good time. It is a kingdom in patience. The patient waiting of the Christ. Those who are subjects of the kingdom of God in mystery form, and this is where it needs anointed eyes, to see God's viewpoint, to be in sympathy with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to feel and to say and to live on the principle, if it is not yet the time for the Lord Jesus to rule, if the Lord Jesus is content to wait in patience, the only proper attitude for those who are truly in allegiance to him is to say, if the Lord Jesus is content to wait in patience, patience is the only appropriate attitude which is proper to the subjects of the kingdom in mystery form. The Lord direct your hearts, isn't it wonderful, into the same attitude as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord direct your hearts into the patient waiting of the Christ. We read a verse in Luke 19 that the disciples thought that at the time that the kingdom should then come into manifestation. Two chapters before that, is it, in about chapter 17, the statement has to be made that as far as the present time is concerned, the kingdom of God cometh not with outward show, does not come into immediate manifestation. And again, there is the implication that the present time is the waiting time. I would think most of us from early days sang gospel hymns like, our Lord is now rejected by the many, still disowned. The Lord Jesus is waiting. He has not yet asserted his rights, but he will. The prophecy in Daniel will be fulfilled. The prophecy in Ezekiel will be fulfilled. Acts 17, 31 will be fulfilled. The king will present himself. He'll appear in power and great glory, as the prophetic scriptures say, the kingdom will come into manifestation, the world to come, the thousand years reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, the millennium, as it is freely spoken of. I think perhaps we need to be challenged by that little phrase, the world to come of which we speak. We say in conversation, perhaps, the world to come of which we speak, but not very often. Church truth is wonderful. Church truth is absolutely essential. But I wonder if we've erred a little too much, if I have erred a little too much in the past, in concentrating my studies on that which is so valuable and vital, Christ and the assembly, church truth, assembly truth as such, and have neglected that which redounds to the glory and the honour of Christ, the public manifestation. Oh, we love the verse, don't we? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, when he shall come into manifestation, you know, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, so shall we appear with him. We shall also come into manifestation with him in glory. In view of that, we are content to wait. But I wonder if perhaps it would be a good exercise that we occupy our minds a little more occasionally with the world to come, of which we should speak, the kingdom of God in outward manifestation, that glorious thousand years reign of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, when he shall be manifestly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Before that time, at the end of it, when he shall hand up all things to the Father, that God might be all and in all. One more word, and I close. We've looked at the kingdom in prophecy, the kingdom in embryo form, and if you want a picture of the kingdom in embryo form, look at the 17th chapter of Matthew, the 9th of Mark, the 9th of Luke, which gives us the transfiguration scene, where we get a little preview of the glory and the honour which shall be rightly proffered to the Lord Jesus Christ when he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we've looked at that. We've looked at one or two verses to see how the kingdom is presented in the Gospels. We've looked at the kingdom in mystery form at the present time. We've looked with joy, I hope, at the fact that the kingdom will be manifest on earth, that the Lord Jesus Christ shall be acknowledged as the man that God has ordained. And we have, I've committed myself, I can't speak for you, I've committed myself to spend a little time, sometime, if the Lord enables me, to look at some of the implications of Christ, the Son of God, being in complete control. It comes back to the kingdom and mystery, doesn't it? If he is going to be in full command and give his verdict in supreme, superb control of all matters in the future, am I prepared as one of the subjects of his kingdom, a moral kingdom, the kingdom of God, where the ruling principle is love? There's another one, the kingdom of the Son of his love. The ruling principle of the kingdom is love. While I enjoy that, am I content to wait until he is manifested before I am able to share any reward that he assesses as being appropriate relative to any faithfulness that, as subjects of the kingdom now, that we have been led to exhibit? But the last word I want to give is to say, how do we get into the kingdom? How do we enter the kingdom of God? The Lord's words to Nicodemus. There's only one way of entering into the kingdom of God. That's by being born into it. Born afresh. Born from above. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit applying the agency of the Word of God dealing with my old corrupt nature, giving me a new nature that can appreciate the moral conditions appropriate to the kingdom of God. Oh, there's much for us to rejoice in, isn't there? But let us, in it all, consider that it is in order to demonstrate once and for all that God's way of doing things, God's way of having established order, is that one man, the man Christ Jesus, is in full and complete sway, and it is our responsibilities as his subjects of owning our allegiance to him by belief, by conduct, and by our witness. May the Lord help us to a better understanding of the kingdom of God. Now let us sing our closing hymn, and it's number 256. Perhaps this might make up for lack of detail that we've had time for this afternoon, this evening, in the thinking about the manifest kingdom in the future, which will commence with the appearing in glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 256. Kings shall fall down before him, and gold and incense bring. All nations shall adore him, his praise all peoples sing. Outstretched his wide dominion o'er river, sea, and shore, far as the eagle's pinion or dove's light wing can soar. Perhaps a local brother would start a tune that is known.